Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Point. I'm Bruce Morris. We are going to be joined now with Peter Lowes, who's the founder of the nonprofit TEA Together. That's Teaching Environmental Awareness Together. He has a pretty fascinating background, born in Scotland and raised in the north of England. He spent a year on a sailboat after college when he really discovered the beauty of this planet and the need to protect it. And then he has now dedicated himself to helping to save the environment of this planet, believing that educating people of all ages and cultures about enacting small changes in their daily lifestyles can result in large positive changes for our environment. Peter now lives in Bend. Peter, you with us?
I'm right here. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, fantastic. Let's start with your organization, TEA Together.
Well, the acronym T basically stands for Teaching Environmental Awareness, and we sort of have a twofold approach. One is we just want to develop basic educational curriculum for everybody on the planet, from preschoolers to senior citizens, because I don't think there's anybody of any age that's not too young or old to learn that the small changes they can make in their daily lifestyles that will lead to big impacts. And then we also want to encourage university education, and we intend to fund scholarships or qualifying graduating high school seniors who wish to embark in the environmental field of, let's say, science, law, or engineering. We're all going to offer scholarships of $5,000 each, and we need brighter young minds into this world that are going to try to fix the problems that we've created over the last several decades.
I think, well, most people listening know those problems, but can you talk about what are some of the major problems that need to be fixed by these brighter young minds, and you, as you said, minds all the way from very young to much more experienced?
Well, yeah, Bruce, that's a great question. You know, somebody that's 65 years of age right now has witnessed our population, our global population, triple. We're closing in on 8 billion people. We have overconsumption, overuse of everything is getting overrun, and we are creating so much in the way of pollutants and plastics that we have a non-sustainable model. For example, you know, there are 300 million tons of plastic that we produce every year, and over half of that is what we call single-use plastic. It's just used for a few seconds, and then it's hundreds of years in the landfill. We want to try to encourage people to try to eliminate as much plastic from their lives as possible. You know, so much of our plastic ends up in the oceans. Our waterways are getting clogged. Fish are getting killed. We've all heard the stories about whales that, you know, they get fooled. They think that they're eating plankton, and it's actually plastic bags that they feel full, so they stop eating and they die. We're just creating too much in the way of pollutants and plastics, and it's a non-sustainable model.
Question occurred to me when you were talking. I have heard some people say, well, plastic all gets recycled. You know, it's not a big deal to use it. What do you say to that?
Most plastic does not get recycled. A lot of what we think we put out in our recycled bins does in fact not get recycled, ends up in landfills. Diet plays a huge part in the health of our environment. And when we think about how much in the way of deforestation occurs for grazing cattle, that has a really twofold effect because, as you know, trees store carbon dioxide until they're chopped down or burnt. And when they're chopped down and burned, the CO2 is released into the atmosphere. And we estimate that more than 1.5 billion tons of carbon dioxide are released in the atmosphere due to deforestation. CO2 acts like a blanket. It traps heat. And so what that does, it puts a big blanket around the earth when we keep chopping down forests. This rise in temperature is what causes climate change. And then the climate change, in turn, causes extreme weather events. You know, we saw the big fires in Australia. We're seeing more extremes in climate, greater hurricane strengths, lots of flooding, drought. Not only when we chop down these forests, Bruce, but we put cattle on there. The cattle give off methane every day, and methane traps more heat than CO2. So switching to a plant-based diet would help mitigate climate change. And I'm not saying everybody should just, you know, become a vegan or a vegetarian tomorrow, but just try to implement small changes into your daily diet where you're not perhaps eating as much in the way of animal products.
I don't know a better way to say this, but the way cows emit methane is through they have gas, right? And because I just to clear that up in case people wonder, it's and part of that, isn't it, because they're fed a completely unnatural diet in a lot of ways to fatten them up.
This is true. You know, the goal is to try to get, whether it be cows, pigs, chickens, to market as fast as possible, so they're all fattened up pretty quickly. Cows, it comes out of both ends. They're both
right.
Belch and the other end too.
So okay. Sorry to load our listeners up with that image, but I just felt like it was important to get that.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that cows produce a lot of methane gas. It's 3.5 liters a day.
And methane, I think I'm right about this, is actually traps even more heat per unit or whatever than carbon dioxide, right?
That is correct.
Okay. It's a big contributor to it. Our diet also has direct impacts on us as human beings, which is relevant, right, during this time of the COVID-19 crisis.
COVID-19 is a terrific situation. It's helping us understand that we are all connected. So this microscopic virus that can move across borders without, you know, passports, there's no need for walls. It can move quite freely, and is doing so. It's showing us that we're all connected. And it is this connection that we have as humans, this, I'd say, interconnectivity with animals that's causing these viruses. It's a too close a connection. So we've been encroaching into animals' ecosystems. And if you look at all these previous viruses, swine flu, SARS, MERS, HIV-1, HIV-2, they all come from close interaction with animals. HIV has been around since, you know, they think the 1920s, but it only really started to proliferate when monkeys and chimpanzees were eaten in Africa, and then it transmuted. It's this connection that we have, almost too tight a connection with animals. COVID, of course, is originated in a market where exotic wild animals were sold along with domestic animals in what are these horrific conditions called wet markets. They think that COVID probably came from either a bat or a pangolin, but it's a nightmare for animals. We in this country were animal lovers. We wouldn't think of throwing a pet, a cat or dog, into a pot of boiling water, such as they do in other countries. That's how they cook their food. I know it's very graphic, but that's actually what's happening. And animals are kept for entertainment, they're kept in captivity, and this close connection is causing these viruses to jump. These animals can quite happily exist with these viruses and have done for centuries, but it's only when the human connection and contact becomes too close that these viruses jump.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up is, and I'm probably using this incorrectly, but there's a thing called the law of large numbers, and I feel certain. So mathematicians may be calling me, but it's your concept that these small changes can make a really big difference. You know, a small change over the course of 7-8 billion people really can add up pretty fast, right?
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to kind of give the visual that, because I do think a lot of times people think, well, so what if I cut out meat by 15 or 20 or 30 or whatever percent? How is that going to make a difference? It's just me.
If you think of what's been happening during this pandemic, we've all been forced to move inside, okay? We've all have this quarantine. And what's happened, you look at what's happened in the environment in a short period of time. You have global emissions have dropped dramatically. You're seeing clean air. They're talking about, you know, Los Angeles that's been smog-free for almost a month now. The waterways around Venice are running clear. You can see fish in there, and in the past it's always been sludge. Marine life are showing up in areas that they haven't seen in decades, whales and dolphins and all these different areas. So it shows that the environment can rebound quite quickly. Now, obviously, we're not all going to stay inside when this pandemic passes. This is a temporary situation, and hopefully the scientists will get us through this quickly. But what we're seeing is that maybe we can look towards a more sustainable lifestyle going forward. Maybe this teaches us that we don't consume as much, go out as much, and we can live simpler life. You know, one of the most searched items on Google right now are jigsaw puzzles. Well, I remember doing jigsaw puzzles as a kid with my family, and now you cannot buy one. It takes 3 weeks to get one now because everybody isn't home doing jigsaw puzzles. So it's bringing people closer together, this pandemic, even though it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, and there's the stories of people singing out their windows and, you know, that these kinds of things where even neighbors, even though we can't get out and see each other, are joining together. So you mentioned, what are some of the things we can do? Because it's true, it's remarkable that during such a brief period of time, we've seen what I consider to be pretty dramatic changes. I mean, seeing dolphins in a canal in Venice, when you see those pictures and that water looks black, right? You know, from the old days. So what are some of the changes we can make long term to make a difference?
I think if we buy eco-friendly products and we opt for more eco-friendly clothing, remember we're buying a lot of clothing, polyester, things like that, have microfiber plastics in there. And those plastics end up in our waterways and in our oceans. And they're sampling fish now. And, you know, when you buy fish from the store, it's containing more and more plastic all the time. So we're actually starting to consume what we're throwing away. And I'd say, if possible, you know, say no to plastic, period. But just we buy fewer things. You know, there's this conspicuous consumption that occurs. And we tend to buy, you know, this retail therapy. And the retailer's going to hate me for saying this, but so many people just, you know, want to appease themselves with retail therapy. We don't need to have as much. And we can, you know, recycle and reuse more. And again, vote with your dollar. If, you know, sometimes we become quite lazy in that it's very easy to do online shopping. But when you think about the carbon footprint, when you buy something from Amazon that maybe gets shipped here from another country, I think of all the shipping and packaging, where I'd recommend people buy local, buy organic. And just try to be smart, vote with your dollar.
Yeah, that's one of the example I heard that I thought was great, and unfortunately applies to me a little bit, is, you know, you get in the car and drive over to the convenience store to buy a pint of, you know, Ben & Jerry's Chubby Hubby, and you might think, well, that I didn't, you know, I just drove a couple of miles in my car, I didn't even, maybe my Prius, right? Not much of a carbon footprint, until you realize that pint of Ben & Jerry's was across the country in a giant, you know, in a giant 18-wheeler. From the Northeast, and you have to add all of that together, which I think people forget about, right? We forget about the supply chain and all of the everything that goes into that. But I did want to bring up, you mentioned buying local. What are your thoughts on buying from, like, our local? We have a lot of, believe it or not, here in Central, well, you know that, you live here, you know, all of our farms and our great ranches around in Central Oregon. What are your thoughts about buying from our local farmers?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm a big proponent of Around the Bend Farms, and Ben, who puts that foundation together, like us, he's a nonprofit, 501c3. You know, you just take out so much transportation and take out so much shipping and fuel when you buy local, and it makes much more economic sense.
And let's get back to your organization. I want to make sure can you tell us in a little more detail? I brushed on it a little bit in the beginning, but the kinds of offerings you have in terms of education?
Again, we just launched this foundation at the beginning of the year, and the timing's been such that we got a little derailed with putting together some events because of COVID. Yeah, we want to be able to offer scholarships to high school qualifying seniors who wish to embark in the field of environmental law, science, or engineering. And we're offering $5,000 scholarships. And there are, if anybody wants to have a name scholarship, or they have a company they'd like to name a scholarship after, we'd love to collaborate on that. We're talking about teaming up with some of the local companies, say like Hydro Flask, Bee Bottle. Again, we want to encourage people to, instead of going to the coffee shop to, you know, get a cup of coffee with a plastic lid every day, bring your own container in, and that way eventually you'll save plastic. We're going to work with local teachers and school boards to create these curricula just for kids of all ages, and then eventually we want to be able to, in fact, educate people in, say, nursing homes, what they can do. You know, we throw away so much, we waste so much on a daily basis that we can use bamboo, we can use steel straws, we can get away from plastic, which is a bane to our world.
Right. Okay, Peter Lowe's, and how can people get in touch with Tea Together if they want to do that?
The website is Tea, which is T-E-A, together.org, not .com. We've got eco tips on there. We've got information about the scholarships, talks about the board and who's on the board and also how to contact us.
All right, great. Well, Peter Lowe's, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate talking to you and all the great information and wisdom you provided. And good luck with Tea Together.
Thanks so much, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, great. Thanks.